It's our pleasure to welcome to the show filmmaker Greg Carter. He's producer of a new movie out right now from 1091 Pictures called Until We Meet Again. Greg, welcome to the show. I love the way it's described, a romantic musical ghost movie. That's a pretty interesting category. Tell us more.
Well, you know, the one thing about the movie, it feels like there's some things that are similar about it. If you've ever seen Ghost, the movie back a couple of years ago, you have a beautiful young antagonist who is, in this particular case, she's an artist, and she's moving into a house, but she's a musician trying to make it in L.A. She gets into a situation where she gets this huge house in the hills that she can stay in because she's house-sitting, right? And when she gets there, she finds out that she has a problem, a pest problem, but it's not a an insect or a vermin. It's a ghost. So she has to try to deal with it. But instead of it a scary way, it turns out that there's a sweet connection between the lost spirit and the person who moved into the house.
Tell us a little bit more about Janelle Parrish, because we saw her in Pretty Little Liars as the main protagonist.
Well, Janelle is one of those type of actors, performers who really just brings it all when she's doing a performance or a movie or whatever she does. And in this particular case, you know, people don't realize that Janelle is actually one of those triple threats. Now, let me explain to the listeners what triple threat is. That means that you not only can act, not only can you dance, but you can also sing. So she carried a lot of weight in being able to do all those different things. She had to sing, and of course, people know she can dance, but she had to sing as well in this movie, and I think she just did a brilliant job.
Very cool. I was looking at the cast, and Michael Madsen, we know him from the Quentin Tarantino movies, and Donnie Brasco, And the funny thing is I heard him on a radio show, and he almost seemed just as scary in real life. So you'll probably tell me he's the big sweetheart teddy bear now.
Yeah, he pretty much is. That's him. You know, the one thing about Michael is that he's been in the business since forever, and he brought. You know, when you have younger actors who are in your lead. It's great to have some anchors. You know, not only did we have Michael, but we also had just wonderful performances by Leslie Jordan in the movie, Antonio Fargas. I mean, they were just great. And our director, Pesha Dingo, just did a fantastic job of weaving everything. It was funny because we had so many different things that we had to do to get the film ready to come out. And, you know, when your director is a perfectionist, you try to pick your points where you go and try to push him to get things down the road. But ultimately, it was a great situation. And Michael is, like I said, he's a sweet guy. I'm a pretty big guy. I'm like 6'5". So maybe just because I was a big guy, it was nice to me.
That could be it, too. And then, you know, as you say, in today's world, well, what's it like trying to not just, you know, make a movie during a pandemic, distribute it, and, you know, it's all the challenges there?
You know, the one thing about the pandemic and what it did was it acted in a way to kind of reset the button as far as the power being in the hands of the distributors, or in this particular case, the streaming platforms. The streaming platforms really had such a backlog of different things that they had. And at the same time, not only did they have a backlog, but then it was really easy for you to have lucrative deals that come from people like for bigger talent. But then when it comes to smaller productions and producers who are not necessarily opening on 4th of July weekend in theaters, they would be able to have the ability to have leverage over those people. Say, hey, either going to take this offer or not take it. Because there was not really the one thing that the streaming platform did was it took away the leverage of the indie film being four-walled, or even the film festivals for that matter. So you pretty much got to deal with them. But the one good thing about the pandemic, if I can say this from an entertainment standpoint of view, the production was shut down for so long that all the films that a company might have projected to be delivered in 2020 or 2021, they ran through all those movies. And then all of a sudden, it became, in a weird way, a seller's market. And so making an independent film like this, when you walk into it, you now have more ability to have a say in different things. And so in that particular case, with an indie film such as Until We Meet Again, we were able to pair with a really terrific distributor, 1091, that really fights for the filmmaker and really did the things they needed to do to make sure that we had the best placement we could get. And so that's exciting when you have a distributor like 1091 that's an advocate.
No doubt. Can you take us behind the curtain a little bit? And I'm sure you could talk all day about this, but, you know, we know what the director does and the director of photography and the actors, but the producer, you got to wear so many hats. Like, do you deal with the unions and the craft services and workers' comp and stuntmen, site locations, equipment? Like, what are all the things, you know, getting the investments, making sure everybody's happy?
Yeah, pretty much all of the above there. So your day starts early in the morning and it doesn't end until late at night. You're normally the first one on the set and the last one to leave. And that's just part of what you got to do. Technically, as a producer, and I'm doing my little air quotes when I say that, mm-hmm. you're responsible for everyone who works in front of the camera and behind the camera. And so when it comes time to bring people to the table, getting deals negotiated, whether that's with the crew or with the cast, that's your job. And, you know, in this particular case, you got to shepherd this baby all the way from when we start shooting until the time that it gets out. And that includes being very active in the promotion and distribution. I think one of the things that makes, filmmaking is funny. And I say this because it's an enigma. You know, the biggest part of making a movie isn't production. It's just that production is the most visible part of making a movie. But there's so many things that happen before cameras roll. And then when cameras have stopped rolling and you're editing, all that stuff can be a tremendous, huge amount of time and resources. And so, you know, the producer should be able to be there in the trenches and be the advocate for what has no voice in this, which is the script in the movie. I should be able to go in there and have conversations with the director about, hey, I think we should trim this scene. This is not right. We need to make it tighter. Or with the distributor, say, hey, you're not going to do this film like that. You're going to give me this or give me that. So you have to be pretty much the voice and the mouthpiece in it. And it can be tough, but it's a very rewarding job, and I truly enjoy it.
Very cool. Last question for you. You know, we always see, you know, or multiple times we'll see the credits and they'll list 10 producers and 5 executive producers. And I just wonder how many, like, oh, we'll give you an EP credit if you do this today. And then, like, how much power do you have? Because it's like, why do, you know, it's just like, do they throw around these titles willy-nilly sometimes?
Yeah, you know, that sometimes happens, those who are listening in the film business, you know, this is a truly collaborative effort. I used to, not only when I don't produce, I direct myself. And one of the things I throw around from time to time when I'm talking to people with my director hat on, I'll say, well, the thing about being a producer, if things go right, you get all the credit. But when things go wrong, you get all the blame. Mm. So I also liken that to the process, which is there will always be a lot of stakeholders. You just hope that everyone is pointed in the right direction, which is to make the best movie possible, as opposed to tribalism and this is mine and this is mine and this and that. I've worked on films before where there's a lot of people getting credits, but they're not really doing anything. It goes with the territory. That's fine. But what you truly hope is that no one is doing anything disruptive from making the best film possible.
All right, and that film is called Until We Meet Again, brand new, available from 1091 Pictures on all digital platforms. We've been speaking with the producer, Greg Carter. Thanks for your time. Congratulations on the project.
Thank you so much for having me.